you turn with me to the chapter we read, Habakkuk chapter 3. And with the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from the second verse. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. The book of the prophet Habakkuk, chapter 3, in the second verse. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. This prophet Habakkuk, there's little really known about him or really when he was placed, in what year, what generation, but from reading it, we can see he speaks of the Chaldeans rising up at the permission of Almighty God to afflict the people of God in judgment. And really, this short book really speaks comfort. There's judgments which are before the people of God, and they're coming. And Habakkuk, under the Lord's guidance, directs them to faith and to hope and to trust in the Lord. And though these things will come to pass, yet he directs them to the coming of the Messiah. He speaks of the coming of the Lord, a deliverance, and the hope which that will bring. And this morning, for our text, it's the first verse, really, of his prayer. As he comes to the end of this book, recorded in Holy Scripture is his prayer. O Lord, I have heard thy speech. I've heard thy report. I've heard those things which are to come to pass, and was afraid. This morning I'd like us to look at this in three contexts. The first, really, for us as in a national context, really the judgments that were pronounced upon the children of Israel in Habakkuk's day. They made them afraid. Certainly some of them. Habakkuk himself says, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. So for us this morning, things in our nation, things in our day. And then secondly, this verse in the context of the church, the one true church of God in our day. And then thirdly, personally, this verse personally to you and I. But first, the things in our nation. It's the talk of everyone, isn't it, at the moment, the coronavirus. You know, when these things begin, there's a lot of complacency at first. Well, it's across the other side of the world. It's nothing to do with us. But we live in a global day of globalization. We live in a day when many nations are relying on each other. You only have to look at how much manufacturing comes out of China and supplies businesses in the UK. And then you see over the last few months, really from the beginning of this year, how these things have spread. And it spread from China and Now it's present in many of the nations of the earth. But again, we sit at home, and will it affect us? Is there a voice in these things? And then we have the outbreaks beginning in our country. And we had last week, well, those of you who follow business will have heard that the stock market fell more or as much as in 1 week it did in 2008 when we had the financial crisis. Was anyone listening to the voice of the Lord in 2008 when his judgments were abroad in our nation? And last week, over £200 billion is removed off the value of British business. Is anyone listening? You say, how does it affect me? Well, if you and I have a pension, it will affect us. These things are upon us as a nation. These things are judgments. What do we have in Proverbs chapter 14, I think it is? Verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. But who hears? Who's listening? There is a voice in these things, beloved friends. The Lord is speaking. We sang for our second hymn, verse 2, what though they fear each dread alarm, tried and severely tossed. But who hears? Though they fear, who's fearing? Who's fearing these things? You know, there's much optimism. We'll be okay. But there's no real ground for that we will be okay. Well, it won't come to us. It won't spread into, it won't affect me. It won't affect my family. It won't touch those that I know and love. But what ground have you other than wishful thinking? What is our ground of these things? What are we basing this hope on? Just wishful thinking, hoping it won't spread, hoping that we'll be able to contain it, hoping that the scientists will come up with a remedy. But who is praying about these things? Well, I hope each one of us will have been praying over these things in our families and personally. Praying for those that are suffering the loss of loved ones. Praying for those who are having to deal with it. The nurses, the doctors, those who are caring for the sick, putting their own lives at risk. Are we bearing them up in prayer? When they're overwhelmed with the distress of things around them? We don't want to be hiding away, do we? And not, you know, watching on, but having no compassion, no sympathy. But beloved friends, there is a voice in these things. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. I've heard thy report. It's a voice that is speaking. Oh, the Lord spoke in the days of Noah, didn't he? He saw the wickedness that was done. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I've made them. Oh, do you think, let's speak in the manner of men, do you think the Lord is sick of the wickedness and the abominations which are done, not just in our land, but throughout the nations of the earth? Do you think the Lord is looking down and he's well pleased with mankind generally? Anyway, we see, don't we, the judgments of the Lord throughout the earth. But I wonder if we do really see them. I wonder if we do see the hand which is behind them. And it grieved him at his heart, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Oh, you know, beloved friends, the Lord is patient and long-suffering. But his judgments are abroad. And there's a warning in these things. There's a warning for us as a nation, and the things that we are doing as a nation. A nation where, go back a few hundred years, and what a great outpouring of the love and mercy of God upon this nation. And then you look at us where we are now as a nation, and the evil and the wickedness which is called good, and the good, what little good there is compared to the amount of evil that is done, but the little good there is, well, that is called evil. And these things are not pleasing to God. And we are right for his judgments. Who can say how far his hand will go? Who can say how far his hand will go upon us as a nation? A nation which has been blessed in days gone by, but a nation which have turned its back upon God. And we've desecrated his word and his day. And his name is trodden in our streets. His name is a blasphemy, used as blasphemy amongst the inhabitants of this land. And who is truly calling upon God? O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Are you? Are you sighing and crying for the abominations done in the land? Are we like a Nehemiah who's grieved at heart with the things? With the wickedness that is done? We're a part of it. Though we may not have a hand in it, we are inhabitants of this land. What is done in our name, what is taking place day by day in our name. Habakkuk says in verse 16, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. Oh, may the Lord open our eyes. May he awaken us out of the sleep which we're in. May he awaken our leaders, those in high places. May you and I petition him. May the Lord, if nothing else is done this morning, from this service this morning, may he stir us up to a united cry. May we beseech him at the throne of grace on behalf of our land that he will have mercy, that in wrath he will remember mercy, that he'll deliver us from godless leaders, that his voice might be heard, not just by his people, but by the many. And that he will so use the things that we are passing through to awaken sinners that are dead in sin and bring them to serve the living God. You know, beloved friends, these judgments that are upon the earth, this coronavirus, you know, it could be, under the divine influence and power of God, a great blessing. A great blessing. Oh, how the Lord could use this and so apply it to exercise souls. For few, if any, come to Jesus till reduced to self-despair. Oh, well, may we petition the Lord that in these things the common man is brought to see and hear the voice of God and see his hand at work and find mercy through his Son, the Lord Jesus. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, in the midst of our day in which we live, make known to us thy displeasure. We have sinned. We have sinned. Oh, that we need that general acknowledgement as a nation. We have sinned. We have done wrong. Oh, and like the men of Nineveh, may we collectively be brought to put sackcloth and ashes and humble ourselves before a living God. And so it's, O Lord, I have heard thy speech. A prayer, desire for our nation. And what about the church? What about the church of God? In the day in which we live, my mind went to Revelations, the beginning of Revelation. You have those messages sent to the various churches, the dying church, Sardis, chapter 3, Revelation. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, this is verse 1, and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and art dead. No, is that the church? Is that the church in our day? Thou hast a name, that thou livest, and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. What a solemn letter that was written. What a solemn message. Livest, thou hast a name that livest, and art dead. O Lord, I have heard thy speech. He that hath an ear to hear, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. When a man's ways please the Lord, he'll prosper them. Oh, when the church is walking in that right way, in tenderness, in fearfulness before God, this is the church, the one true church of God. Oh, when there's a right spirit amongst the brethren, the Lord is pleased. It's that right sacrifice. It's true worship to his holy name. How solemn when the Lord withdraws his influence, maybe from a local church. The Lord is displeased with the way things are done, with the walk, the conduct of the members. And the Lord is grieved. And there's a withdrawing, a withholding of his Spirit. You know, if you and I are to ever truly worship and praise the Lord in that right way, it is Spirit-led. We are entirely dependent upon the Holy Spirit to put with us a right spirit, a spirit of true worship, to be active within us, to subdue our old nature, and to bring forth, to draw out of us a right spirit of worship and praise. And the Lord has promised to his individual members he'll never leave them nor forsake them. But how many closed places of worship are there throughout our land? We're not talking about just the group of churches that we are connected with, but we are talking about general religion in our day. What a decline. What a departing there has been. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. And yet are we? Are we concerned? The honour and glory of God. Oh, does it concern us? The children, the rising generation. The Lord will pour out his spirit abundantly upon us. The Lord will refresh us, revive us, preserve us as local churches, as that one church. The Lord will bless us with fellow like-minded people to worship with publicly. No, may we not take it for granted. Beloved friends, it's ones and twos that are meeting together this morning. The Lord has promised to be with the ones and twos. But it's not encouraging, is it? Week by week. Oh, that the Lord would have mercy upon us. That there might be that spirit of unity and fellowship. And a binding together of those whose hearts are toward him. It might be knit in love. That Satan might be kept out from causing division and seeking to separate chief friends. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. The previous chapter speaks of woes that are upon the church. Yes, the Messiah is to come. There's to be the bringing in of the promised Messiah. The eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus, is spoken of and promised. But there's two types of people that are spoken of. In verse 4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. That's the first. The first who are hearing the sound of the truth and the gospel, and they're rejecting it, they're dismissing it, they're not receiving it. And then on the other hand, but the just shall live by his faith. Oh, that you and I might be prayerfully exercised and concerned about the church of God in the day in which we live. That we might be genuinely grieved with the empty pews and the closed houses of prayer throughout our land and nation. And the departure there has been, the outward departure from religion of any sort of Christianity, and that decline in which, again, the voice of the Lord is to be heard. O revive thy work. O preserve it. Preserve the things that remain, lest that be overrun with unbelief. Lest Satan come in and sow tares amongst the wheat. Preserve it, Lord. Preserve it. Revive it. Maintain it. Oh, and revive it. Oh, that there might be that prayerful desire. Oh, that the Lord would blow a gale of grace through the churches, through the one church, through our land. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, and blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof flow forth. Oh, that there might be an outpouring the Spirit of the Lord. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labour of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. Yet. Wonderful thing if you and I, by faith, can grasp this yet this morning. Things aren't how they should be. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because he's still on the throne. Because the door of mercy is still open. Because we're still on praying ground. Because we live in a gospel day. And the glories of the gospel are still to be found in the preaching of the word and in the reading of God's word. And yet will I rejoice. Why? Because his arm is omnipotent, almighty. And he's able to revive. And he's able to stir up. And he's able to breathe life into dry bones. And he's able to bring forth the clean out of the unclean. And he's able to cause all the chapels that are currently vacant and shut to be opened and filled. And he's able to fill every pew in this chapel and the chapels throughout this land. He's able to do it. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? He is able to do it. The Lord God is my strength. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet. I won't be slothful. I won't be lethargic. Diligent, prayerful. Oh, active in prayer. Often in prayer. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Oh, there's a promise. There's expectation. Do you view, beloved friends, do you view the expectation, the promise that is in God when you come to the throne of grace? We view the things that distress us. We view the fears and the perplexities and the things that aren't right. Oh, but is there an expectation in your heart when you come to the throne of grace? Is this what fires you? He's able to do exceedingly abundant above all we ask or think. Oh, if the Lord blesses you with a sweet sense of that promise, oh, how bold you will be in prayer. Oh, you won't think I'm a madman in saying that he can fill every chapel pew in this land. You won't. If you could view by faith that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. If you could view the power which is in God, he's able to deliver, and he's able to revive, and he's able to bring the dead forth, the power in the voice as he raised dear Lazarus from the grave, that same power that spoke this world into being, let there be light, that same voice which warns and rebukes this sinful world, that same power can speak into the hearts of men, women, boys and girls. Oh Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Oh Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Oh, what did that publican say? He wasn't right, was he, before God? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so we have our nation and we have the church. And is it listening? Is it hearing? Has it an ear to hear? Is its heart to be stirred up? Oh, the Lord will revive a spirit of true, united prayer and confession. And then what about you and I personally? Now, is this voice speaking to you and I? Is there a voice speaking in your life and mine? Come down from the national scene. Come down from the church scene and analyze your life. Is the Lord talking? Is he speaking? Is there something speaking to you? Oh Lord, I've heard thy speech. Beloved friends, dear Adam, the Lord spoke to him, didn't he? Oh, as he had sinned in that garden, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Are you hiding this morning? There's a voice, the voice of God's word. Beloved friends, you hear it. We've had some solemn warnings over the past few weeks. There's a judgment day. You've an ever-dying soul. Eternity is vast. And how stands the case, my soul, with thee? The Lord grant to you to hear his voice. Oh, he'll make you shrink. He'll make you hide from him. A heart-searching God. The eyes of them were both opened. Are your eyes and mine opened? Do you see the nakedness of your soul? How exposed you are to the wrath and anger of God through your sin? They saw themselves as naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They still shrank away from the voice of God. God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" Well, where are you this morning? And where am I? Do you have peace with God? What is the voice you're hearing this morning? Is it one of comfort? "Thou, I have loved thee well, my child. Thou art mine." Or things not certain. You found no real true rest for the sole of your foot this morning. Adam says, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid." Why, Adam? You've communed with your Maker since the day you were created. You took sweet fellowship with him in that sinless, spotless state. Why are you afraid now? "I have heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Oh, that the Lord would speak to you and I. We might hear his voice. "I have heard thy speech and was afraid." Oh, to be brought to tremble before him as a sinner. It's vital. You will. Every one of us, if we don't in this life, will one day tremble before him as a sinner. Oh, Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Lord, in my day, now, Lord. Oh, that thou would revive a work in me. Oh, that thou would stir up my heart. Oh, that I might be hearing. "Who hath believed our report?" said Isaiah. "And whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Oh, Lord, speak to me. Oh, leave me not to this sleep of death, which can hear the solemn sound of the word of God, the solemn sound of the gospel, of the grace of God, and yet have no effect and feel nothing and feel no concern. Lord, leave me not to this sleep of death. Oh, but let me hear thy voice. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known thyself to me as my Saviour, my Deliverer, my Sin Bearer, oh, my Friend and my God. Oh, leave me not to stand at a distance, but bring me into that sweet union and fellowship with thee. Oh, bring me to thy feet while I'm on praying ground. Bring me to thy feet while there is hope. While there is time. While there is time. Let's call ye upon him while he is near, while he is near. Oh, that you and I might be found with our heart pressed with urgency and need, and a spirit of true repentance. You know, it is solemn. I was thinking of Ahab, you know, wicked King Ahab, and the Lord sent Elijah. Having had Naboth put to death so he could take his vineyard, which was next to his house, which Naboth wouldn't sell him, another wickedness added to the great list of Ahab and Jezebel's sins, this dear man of God is sent with a message from the Lord. I will bring evil upon thee, will take away thy prosperity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and have made Israel to sin. And what was the effect on Ahab? And it came to pass, when Ahab heard these words, he rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. So he repented. He was sorry. The man of God had warned him. You're in dreadful trouble. These things are coming upon you. And so affected was he naturally that he put on sackcloth and went humbly before God. And God observed. And God delayed the punishment. And his eyes didn't see his house destroyed in the days of his children. And yet, beloved friends, that man perished in his sin. That man is in hell. Ahab was a wicked man. His sackcloth and ashes did not bring him to that true evangelical repentance. He outwardly reformed his character and went softly before God. But he did not find God. He was not brought to worship God. He found no peace, lasting, everlasting peace with God. You know, I could speak, if the Lord blessed me with the words to speak, the dreadful condemnations and solemn things that are to take place. And if one could speak of hell and all the distress and misery and wretchedness of it, well, it may have an effect on you. But it's more than threatenings, isn't it? Oh, it's more than threatenings. It's that true conviction of sin. And it's the Spirit of the Lord to regenerate our hearts. Heaven isn't just an escape from hell. Heaven is to worship God and to be with him, which is far better. And for that, beloved friends, our hearts need to be changed. And we need to be brought to love him and not hate him. Oh, we're not to repent under gritted teeth, but we're to fall before him. Deserving his wrath, but hoping upon his mercy. Looking to his Son, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of our sins, the washing away in his precious blood of all of our filth and guilt, and to find that peace with God in this life, before we pass into eternity. Oh, that the Lord will bring us each to that true place as that publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. For that's what it comes down to, doesn't it? You know, we think of the nation, we think of the church, but it comes down to me. Am I right? Am I ready? I might think of my loved ones. and my family. But what about me? Am I ready to meet God? Have I peace with him? Have I some comfort in my soul? When I think of eternity and my death and a judgment day, have I peace? Or am I not certain? Oh, may the Lord so work in our hearts. May we be blessed with a spirit of true submission to his will in all things. I'll close with it. David in Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 15. He had that great distress, Absalom. Absalom, his own son, rising up against him. And Zadok the priest carrying the ark out of the city. David's fleeing Jerusalem. And the king said unto Zadok, this is 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 25, carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find the favour in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. Submission to his will, trusting his gracious character, trusting the God whom had made known himself to him through the years, but submissive to his holy will. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Amen.